This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Amma ba'd, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone. Jazakallah khairan for the opportunity to be here with all of you in your beautiful state. As soon as I walked into the airport, I bought a magnet. I didn't know, I collect them, and I didn't know that the Wright brothers were from here, so I bought an airplane magnet that's red and yellow because my son loves Lightning McQueen from the movie Cars, if any of you have kids, and he's red and yellow, so he'll be excited. So jazakallah khair. So I'm honored to speak about this particular topic, about cultivating contentment and taking advantage of the present moment and being able to do that. So I wanted to start with a story that exactly 1 week ago, almost to the minute, something very important happened in my family's life. My children and I were at a local grocery store, and we picked a cake. And that's it. That's what was important. It's not serious for me, but for the two little ones that were with me, it was really serious business. My daughter especially, she's four, and the choice of picking this cake and choosing it and spending the entire day looking at it longingly. Mama, look at the strawberries on it. Mama, look at the color of the frosting. Mama, I'm so excited. I love you so much. I can't wait to have a slice, right? She was so excited. And then when she finally got that slice, seeing her take that first bite was magical. It was amazing to see how she enjoyed every single bit of that moment. And that's why children are so filled with joy, because they take advantage of and they fully engage in every single moment of their lives. So to make it a little bit more relatable to some of you, especially if you don't have children, if any of you have applied for college in the present or in the past, grad school, undergrad, medical school, law school, that moment that you open up your mailbox and you see the big envelope, not the little envelope, but you see the big envelope, right? And it's emblazoned with the name of the university on it, and you open it and it says congratulations. You're overjoyed. You are fully engaged. That's contentment in that moment. You are not thinking about the personal statement you had to write, the recommendation letters, all those checks you had to write just to apply to these people's schools, right, and how much money you spent doing that. You're not thinking about all of those things from the past, because that would take away from the joy of the present moment. And you're not thinking about how much pain you're going to experience in the future if you're going to medical school or any of those other things, because that's definitely going to take away from the joy of that present moment, right? Instead, you are engaged in just that moment, and that's what contentment is, engaging in that present moment and being thankful for that moment. We often think about that in moments of happiness, but it also applies in moments of sadness. If you have ever lost somebody that you love, in that moment, if you think about all the ways that they made you angry in the past, you can't allow yourself to grieve, right? And if you keep thinking about every future moment of happiness that they're going to miss out on, your grief is going to be incredibly overwhelming. And so instead, we focus in on the present moment and allow ourselves to feel the sadness. And contentment doesn't mean not hurting. We allow ourselves to feel that sadness. But it means that despite that pain, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan might not be what we would have chosen for ourselves in that moment, but knowing that through His love and His wisdom, that's what He's decreed, that's what allows us to still live in that present moment. When you think about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he lost so many of his children. He lost his beloved uncle. He lost his constant companion, his wife, Khadija radiallahu anha. And he grieved, but he was still able to love the people that were still alive. His grandchildren, the children that were still alive. He was able to show love and care to his companions. He was able to still complete his mission as the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because despite having grief within our hearts, if we can still experience the joys of the present moment, that's where contentment lies. So what is contentment? Basically, contentment is focusing in on what is and not on what if. So what that means is being pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what He's decreed, knowing that there's wisdom in every provision, whether we've been given something or taken, having something taken away from us, whether we've been given ease or whether we've been given struggles, knowing that there's wisdom in that. And nurturing a sense of appreciation for what we have instead of looking for what we lack. That's what contentment is. The Rasulullah ﷺ said that if something difficult happens to us, don't say if only, right? Because if only are words that open the door for the shaitan. Instead, he said, say قَدْرَ اللَّهِ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ, that it is the destiny of Allah and He does whatever He wishes. That's acceptance, that's contentment. So instead of saying, if only I had married so-and-so, I would be happy. If only I had more money, then I would be content, right? And we're going to address that in a little bit, inshallah. So ar-rida, meaning contentment, scholars have described it as the greatest door that one enters to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the source of tranquility for the worshiper, and it's described as paradise on earth. And research actually supports this idea of it being paradise on earth. There's a lot of research done about happiness and contentment and the implications it has for depression and anxiety and reducing that, even for reducing things like chronic pain. That if we experience physical pain, level of happiness, positivity, and contentment can alleviate some of that, subhanAllah. And so there results that paradise on earth. But the best benefit, and one that we should keep foremost in our mind when we're striving toward contentment, is with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Fajr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّ إِرْجِعِي إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَّ فَدْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي وَدْخُلِي جَنَّتِي. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the righteous people, O reassured soul, and nafs al-mutma'inna, meaning the person who is content, the soul that's content and satisfied, return to your Lord, pleased and pleasing to Him. Radiyatan mardiya, meaning content with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He's also content with you. And enter amongst my righteous servants and enter my paradise. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in these verses is if you gain the paradise of earth, Jannatul Rida, meaning the Jannah of contentment on earth, meaning you are content with me, you will gain the Jannah of the hereafter where I will be content with you. And that's an amazing gift, that you get a gift now and you get an even greater gift later. There's no losing in this equation. And so one way, and this is the one I want to focus on, to achieve contentment, right? Because we know the reward, we know it's great, but how do we do it? It's through something called mindfulness. Some of you might have heard this term, a very hippie term that people like throw around these days in psychology and everything. But there are some really clear benefits, and it's very similar to the concept of khushu'a, which is focus in your salah and things like that. So mindfulness is basically an approach that encourages us to focus in on the present moment, to live our lives purposefully. So it allows us to shed the weight of regret from the past, to shed the weight of anxiety and fears of the future, and focus in on the present moment. A professor of psychology at Harvard University, Ellen Langer, defined mindfulness saying, life consists only of moments, nothing more than that. So if you make the moment matter, it all matters. So I call these moments, in honor of my daughter, I call them chocolate cake moments. How do we create out of the typical everyday routine and even the difficult moments, like the Brussels sprouts moments of your lives, right? How do we transfer them and make them into chocolate cake moments? Where that moment where everything melts away and we have that moment matter in the same way that first bite of chocolate cake mattered to my daughter. How do we do that? And one way to make each moment matter is by finding a reason to be content and to be grateful in every single moment of our lives. And so how do we do this? The first step in this process, it's a three-step process, and the first step is awareness. You can't appreciate something if you don't see it, right? If you don't even know it's there, you can't be content with it. You can't thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it because you're not seeing it. So the first thing is we need to be aware. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he talks about the journey to Allah, and the first station he describes in this journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the station of awareness. That when we gain awareness, then our heart awakens from the slumber of heedlessness, right? And the opposite of heedlessness is awareness or mindfulness. So, for example, for any of you moms out there, when you're cleaning up a mess that your kids made when they were playing, and you're grumbling the whole time, like, I can't believe how much I have to do, and this is so frustrating, and all of this, I gotta teach my kids to clean up after themselves, right? And you're frustrated, instead, focus in on the laughter that yielded that mess, the laughter of your children, and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the opportunity to have heard that, when so many people would have wished for that. I once heard a quotation that said, there are so many people out there who would wish for your worst days. That our worst days are filled with so many more blessings than people's best days in so many people, subhanAllah, right? Or when your mother asks you to go to the grocery store and you have a paper to write for class and you're stressed and you're frustrated because you have an extra thing to do now. Instead, imagine that you're alleviating a burden from your mother in the same way that she's alleviated so many burdens from you, and that through this opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in your path, you are working toward qualifying as those who give good treatment to their parents, for the reward for which is unimaginable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The most mundane, the most annoying, the most difficult moments can be made into chocolate cake moments if we allow them to be. And so when we thank Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, that if you are grateful, I will surely increase you in favor. And one of the things is, you know, we think, okay, if I'm grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for my wealth, He's going to increase me in wealth, right? Maybe, but there's another way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favor is shown to us when we're grateful to Him. Where the more we look for the things that we have instead of setting our sights on the things that we lack, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to see the things that we have, to increase in contentment. And what happens in our minds, our brains literally change. That the pathways of negativity weaken and the pathways of positivity strengthen. And so suddenly when you're stuck in traffic in the morning and normally you'd be honking your horn and you're wondering, I'm gonna be late for work, and you're so frustrated, suddenly your perspective starts to change and you don't need to even put in as much effort to allow it to change. Suddenly you think to yourself, Alhamdulillah that I'm not that car accident on the side of the road that caused the delay. Your perspective is an increase from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in goodness and in favors. Because you have been grateful, He allows us to be even more grateful. And that's one of the greatest blessings, subhanAllah, to allow us to experience that paradise on earth, Jannat al-Rida. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? If we can't be aware, then we're denying every single favor that passes our way every single day, subhanAllah. And so when we pay attention to the present moment and the blessings in the present moment, then suddenly in mediocrity, in the moments where nobody sees blessings, we see everything, and we're not from amongst those who deny the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we have a choice in every moment to search for that which will lead us to contentment and gratitude, or to ignore it and lead a life of dissatisfaction. So if we look at the things that our parents or our spouse does to annoy us, we'll find it, right? That's life. And if we look for the things that they do to show us love, that make us feel loved, we'll find that too. You find what you're looking for, right? If you look for the imperfections in your appearance, you buy one of the, like in my hotel, I don't know why hotels do this, they have those mirrors that like zoom in on everything. You know, like the one next to the bathroom, you can see everything. You just kind of have to not look at that, right? Don't focus on your imperfections because you'll find them. But instead, if you focus on what you appreciate about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you in appearance, in the functionality of your body, in your health, you're going to find that too. You find what you look for. And you can either gain contentment or dissatisfaction. And that's how we make the moments matter. The second step is accountability. We can't fully be content until we hold ourselves accountable and figure out, are we living our lives in accordance with the values that we think are important to us? Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said, call your souls to account before you are called to account. Hold yourselves accountable, right? And so living in the present moment doesn't mean ignoring the past and ignoring the future. It means utilizing the past and utilizing the future to make the present moment matter and to make it count. So the point of looking back at the past is to learn from our mistakes so we can change them and make a difference in the present moment, or to figure out what worked in the past and to replicate that in the present moment. The point of looking forward to the future is we need to plan for our future, right? As much as we're capable of planning for it, because in order to actually achieve it, we have to take advantage of the present moment and do what needs to be done to make it toward that goal. So when we're using it in that way, for it to inform the present moment, it's beneficial. If we're using it in the way where we're regretting the past so that we can't do anything to change it and we just feel horrible, or we're looking at the future and we're so terrified that we're frozen and we can't commit, our life passes us by and we can't benefit. So if we put in the work to take full advantage, then contentment plays a role in several ways. The first is when you're putting in the work, when you're studying for your MCAT, and it's hard, there's a level of contentment in knowing that even though this is hard, I am content with the work that this involves, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving me the tools to be able to achieve what I'm seeking to achieve. When you work hard and you get the result that you want, you get that job, right? You get that promotion, and you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's contentment in the moment, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there's also, if you get that promotion and you realize it wasn't the dream that you had imagined it to be, that the reality of it isn't exactly what you had anticipated. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. And then there's contentment, the hardest one, if you work for something and you don't get it. And that's where we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of planners, but that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also ar-razzaq, the provider. That He provides us with what we need, not always what we want. Even if we work toward what we want, if it's not what we need, then He provides us with what we need instead. Being content with that knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being ar-razzaq, the provider for us. And so a big part of accountability, obviously, is working toward our goals. And our primary goals is in living the life that we want to present in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we are not living in accordance with our values, then no matter how much we achieve, no matter how many blessings we're given, no matter how much ease we're presented with, we will never be content, because there's always going to be something missing. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, and I did not create jinn or humans except to worship me, are we living in accordance to that? The Rasulullah ﷺ said that the son of Adam will not be dismissed before his Lord, before he's been questioned for about five things. And the first one he talks about is his life and how he spent it. All of those little moments are going to be written, and all of those little moments add up to what we're presenting in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is it what we want to present? A good way to ask ourselves this question is, if somebody, imagine your life for 1 week, and if somebody were to take an objective look at your life, what would they think your priorities are? Is it making money? Is it Netflix? Is it, you know, yelling at your parents, right? What are the priorities that we have in our lives? Is it in accordance to what we imagine it would be, that it's in worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And keep in mind, what we're saying here is every single moment can be turned into a worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not just salah, it's not just dhikr, it's not just reciting Quran. Every single moment can be turned into a worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we intend it to be that, and if we're grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those moments. So the third step in this process of gaining contentment is acceptance. And this is where, when we work for something, sometimes we get it, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we get it and it's not exactly what we wanted it to be. Contentment is not based on our circumstances. our level of happiness, our level of contentment is 100% within our control. Well, 90%, let's say, okay, according to research, but I think there's a little bit more than that. Research says that 10% of our happiness level is determined by what happens in our lives, by our circumstances, right? The other 90% is a few different factors, but primarily the way that we perceive our circumstances. So people think something like, once I lose 10 pounds, I'll be happy. Once I get married, I'm going to be content. Once I get this job, once I finish my finals, once I do all of these things, then I will be happy. Then. We're in a waiting game when, meanwhile, if we focused in on what we have now, we could be happy right now. We don't need anything else than what we have right at this moment in order to be content, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us everything that we need. There was a very powerful research study done that took a group of two very different types of people who had undergone a life-altering experience. One group had won the lottery, and one group had become paraplegics, meaning that they were paralyzed from the waist down for life. What they did is they tested these groups, and what they found was that both groups, after 1 year, after these incidents, the lottery or the paralyzation, the paralysis, not paralyzation, paralysis, 1 year after that, their happiness levels were right back to the way they were before the events. Whether you win the lottery or whether you experience paralysis, you will be as content as you were 1 year later as you were even before this happened, subhanAllah. Because our happiness and our contentment is not dictated by our life circumstances. It's dictated by how we think and how we think with our hearts. Okay? The Prophet ﷺ told us that if the son of Adam had two valleys of money, he would wish for a third. It's natural. It's part of our human nature to want more, to look for the next big thing, to look for the next step in our lives, to wait for contentment until the next step, and then we realize it never comes. But it tells us that the ups and downs of life are not what dictate our happiness, and that what we think we need in the long run, a year later, we realize that we really didn't, subhanAllah. But we can make the change, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He rewards us for contentment. Why would He reward us for something that we can't do? We can do it. Even if it's against our nature sometimes, we can do it. We can work on it. And the Rasulullah ﷺ did it in a very powerful way, and it's very simple. So if you take one thing from this lecture, is this a simple tip, that there in our morning and evening adhkar, there's a dua that we say three times in the morning, three times in the evening. رَضَيْتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ نَبِيًّا. You say it three times in the morning, three times in the evening. And what this means is that there's, the Rasulullah ﷺ says that there's nobody who says this three times in the morning, three times in the evening, that I am pleased with Allah as my Lord, I am pleased with Islam as my religion, and with Muhammad ﷺ as my messenger, except that on the day of judgment, it will be a right upon Allah to please that person. That when we say, I am pleased, رَضَيْتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا, that I am pleased with you, Ya Allah, as my Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then please us on the day of judgment. And that is a right that we will have upon Him, subhanAllah. That is incredible. When we remind ourselves every single day that we're pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as our Lord, that we're pleased with Islam as our religion, then the difficulties that come on a daily basis don't seem as difficult. Because we're telling Allah, you want me to pray five times a day? Oh, okay, that's hard. But you know what? I'm pleased with Allah. I'm content with Allah as my Lord. I'm content with what he has prescribed for me in His deen. I'm content with what He has decreed, even the hardships in my life, because I am saying six times a day that I am pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as my Lord. And your brain registers this and looks for ways that you're going to be pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when your alarm blasts for Fajr and you've only slept 2 hours because of finals or because of a new baby, suddenly you think, this is hard, but you know what? I am content with Islam as my religion. And part of me being content is doing what Islam tells me. And you get up, right? It changes our perspective. So contentment, again, is not about what's happening around you, it's about what's happening within you. That's what makes all the difference with it. And that's what helps us to change the difficult moments into chocolate cake moments. Okay, I have 5 minutes, and I wanted to do this with you guys, and I'm going to try and do it quick. I want to give you a sample of what it would look like to do a mindfulness activity in a therapy session. This is something I would do with my clients. So this is based on an ayah from Surah Al-A'raf, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "We have certainly created for hell many of the jinn and mankind. They have hearts with which they do not understand. They have eyes with which they do not see, and they have ears with which they do not hear." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends the ayah and he says, "It is they who are al-ghafilun," the heedless, right? And the opposite of heedlessness is mindfulness or awareness, right? So let's try and use a mindfulness activity. You're going to stay in your seats. You don't really need to do anything. It's with your minds. That's the good thing about therapy. It doesn't involve much to, you don't have to move a lot or anything. You're just sitting there. But based on this ayah, we are going to explore how can we turn our hearts, our ears, and our eyes into ways of not being from amongst the heedless, instead to be being from amongst those who are content and who are aware and who are mindful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes people who are heedless as with eyes that do not see. So I want you to pay attention to your eyes. And I want you to look, use your eyes to look at something within your visual area, right? It can be, you can focus on the flower arrangement, the couch, the hijab of the person in front of you, whatever it is, right? Focus in on that. It can be your laptop or something, your hands. Just focus in on that for just a second, okay? Just look at it. Allow yourself to relax into it as you're just looking at it, okay? Something that can be really used for anxiety. But what I like to do is I like to turn it into a way of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not just mindfulness, but it's also a way of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with whatever you chose to focus your vision on, you can turn that now to how do we make our eyes from amongst those who are aware instead of those who are heedless? How do we protect our eyes from being heedless? We use our eyes in a way to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what we do in this is whatever you are looking at, you can turn it into a gratitude. You can turn it into something to be content about. And it's difficult at first, but it'll get easier. And so what you do is, for example, you looked at your laptop. You turn that into, alhamdulillah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted me the means to be able to buy something where knowledge is at my fingertips, right? You're looking at the flower arrangements, and you think to yourself, alhamdulillah, that I have the opportunity to see these colors and witness the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that some people don't. You look at the stage in front of you and you think, alhamdulillah, that I have the opportunity to be surrounded by students of knowledge in this place. We use our eyes. Where people see nothing, you can see blessings, okay? And the same with your ear. Your ears, you hear the heating vent. You hear the sound of my voice reminding you about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You hear the breathing of your chest and thinking about, alhamdulillah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted me functioning lungs. You turn those moments, that's what mindfulness is. You turn your senses into something to be grateful for. SubhanAllah. Okay. I'm going to skip the last one. Sometimes when we're talking on our phones, right? Have you ever had that situation where you're talking on your phone with somebody and then you're just like, you know what? It's happened with my dad recently. Baba, I can't find my phone. I have no, where is my phone? I'm looking for it everywhere. And he's like, Sara, Habibti, you're talking to me on and everything. I'm like, okay. And this is what happens in our lives. We look for what we imagine we've lost. We look for what we imagine we don't have in every single space, and sometimes it's right there. It's within our hands. It's within our grasp. It's within, exactly in right under our noses. SubhanAllah. And that's how it is that sometimes in the places that we feel as though something is lost, it's actually precisely where the blessing can be found. And that's what being aware, that's what contentment really is looking in our lives, again, at focusing on what is, not on what if, focusing on what we have, and not on what we lack. And when we can do that, and realize that the blessings are within our grasp, then we ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept that inshallah on the day of judgment he's going to tell us irji'i ila rabbika radiyatan mardiyya, that return to your Lord pleased with him, content with him, and he is content with you. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those with whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased and with whom we are, and for us to as well also be pleased with him, and to grant us Jannat al-Ridha in this life and in the Akhirah. Ameen. Jazakumullahu khairan. Subhanakallahu wa hamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.